church came together expressly to do what we are about to do, and that is to remember Him. We're this month trying to worship God and become stronger as we worship Him more heartily. May we use the rest of this service to focus more clearly on the Lord's Supper than perhaps we ever have. It's a time to remember the sacrifice that Jesus made and a time to examine ourselves. It's a time to remember Jesus. In the next several minutes, we plan to walk with Jesus through the last weeks of His life, the last days of His life, the last hours of His life, and the last minutes of His life. We want to prepare ourselves as we partake of the Lord's Supper this day, as we do every first day of the week, doing so in remembrance of Him.
King of my life.
The reality is that Jesus knew exactly what He was going to do. He knew exactly the unbelievably horrid death that He was going to experience. Months before He ever went through this, here's what the Bible says. From that time, Jesus began to show His disciples and began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and that He must go to Jerusalem and be rejected and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, and to be killed and to be raised the third day. Jesus knew the importance of focusing on His death, the very thing that we are doing today. And so He used words to help us to understand how deeply this needed to sink into our souls. While they were staying in Galilee, Jesus said to His disciples, "Let these words sink down into your ears. For the Son of Man is about to be betrayed into the hands of men, and they will kill Him. And after He is killed, He will rise the third day." And they were exceedingly sorrowful.
He later described the wretched death that lay before Him. Now, as Jesus was going up to Jerusalem, He took the 12 disciples aside on the road and said to them, "Behold, we're going to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and the scribes. He will be condemned to death. They will deliver Him to the Gentiles. They will mock Him, insult Him, scourge Him, spit on Him, and crucify Him. And the third day He will rise again." Remember that He said we should let these events sink down deep into our ears. As you meditate on these events, one question comes to mind again and again. Why? Why would God send Him? Why? Why would He endure all of these things? Why? There's only one answer. And let us answer it from the depths of our souls. as we sing that answer. Truth is, Jesus knew beforehand all that he was to endure. He knew who would betray him. When Jesus had said these things, as they sat and ate, he was troubled in spirit and testified and say, "Most assuredly I say unto you, one of you will betray me, one who eats with me. Behold, the hand of my betrayer is with me on this table." The disciples looked at one another, perplexed about whom he spoke, and they were exceedingly sorrowful, and each of them began to say, "Lord, is it I?" He answered and said, "It's one of the 12. One who dips his hand with me in this dish will betray me. The Son of Man will indeed go just as it is written to him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would be good for him if he'd never been born. It is to whom I shall give this piece of bread when I have dipped it." And having dipped the bread, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. Judas, who was betraying, answered and said, "Rabbi, is it I?" And he said to him, "You have said it." Now after the piece of bread, Satan entered him. Jesus said to him, "What you do, do quickly."
Jesus not only knew who his betrayer was, he knew what every one of those disciples was going to do. He knew that all of them would forsake him. And he gave specific details as to their actions, and especially to those of Peter. Jesus said to his disciples, "All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered." Simon Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus answered him, "Where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you shall follow me afterward." Peter said to him, "Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for your sake." Jesus answered him, "Will you lay down your life for my sake? Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. But Simon said to him, Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death. Even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble. Jesus said to him, assuredly I say to you that today, even this night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny three times that you know me. Most assuredly, I say to you, the rooster shall not crow till you have denied me these three times. Peter spoke more vehemently, if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And they all said likewise. No doubt they meant what they said when they spoke of their love for him. But what Jesus faced, he ended up facing alone, even as his friends slept.
But before he went to Gethsemane, he ordained this feast that is before us. He promised to be with us as we eat it. Imagine him passing that bread and the cup to them, and then later in this service, imagine him handing the bread to you and inviting you to eat it. The Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, gave it to the disciples, and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he took the cup after supper and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance for me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Assuredly I say to you, I will no longer drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God, my Father's kingdom. And they all drank of it. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who drinks and eats in an unworthy manner eats and drinks damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep.
After Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, he went to the Garden of Gethsemane. The Bible says, coming out, he went out with his disciples as he was accustomed over the brook Kidron to the Mount of Olives, where there was a garden named Gethsemane, which he and his disciples entered. When he came to the place, he said to them, "Sit here while I go and pray over there. Pray that you may not enter into temptation." And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, James and John. And Jesus began to be sorrowful, troubled, and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me." And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw. He went a little farther and he knelt down. And he fell on the ground and fell on his face and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, "Abba, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. All things are possible for you. If it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Not my will, but yours be done." Then an angel appeared to Jesus from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed all the more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. When he rose up from prayer and had come to his disciples, he found them sleeping from sorrow. Then he said to them, "Why do you sleep? Rise up and pray, lest you enter into temptation." And he said to Peter, "Simon, are you sleeping? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, a second time, Jesus went away and prayed, and he spoke the same word, saying, "Oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done." And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy, and they did not know what to answer him. So he left them, went away, and prayed the third time, saying the same words. And then he came to his disciples, and the third time he said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." Let us sing two songs about these moments. We know so much of this story just so well. Yet, let's try to imagine that we were there, that we were witnessing these things happen as they were happening. Those first men to partake of this feast were eyewitnesses. They could go back in years to come and recall exactly what had transpired. But because we have the Bible, we can in our minds go back and recall each Lord's Day what our Lord went through. The Bible says Judas, who betrayed Jesus, also knew the place. For Jesus often went to the garden with his disciples. Then Judas, having received a detachment of troops and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, came there with lanterns, torches, and weapons. And immediately while Jesus was still speaking, behold, Judas, one of the 12, with a great multitude with swords and clubs, came from the chief priest and elders of the people. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that would come upon him, went forward and said to them, "Whom are you seeking?" They answered him, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus said to them, "I am he." And Judas, who betrayed him, also stood with them. Now when he said to them, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. Then he asked them again, "Whom are you seeking?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus answered, "I have told you that I am he. Therefore, if you seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled, which he spoke, 'Of those whom you gave me, I have lost none.'" Now his betrayer had given them a sign, saying, "Whomever I kiss, he is the one. Seize him and lead him away safely." Judas came near to Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said to him, "Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" As soon as he had come, immediately he went up to Jesus and said to him, "Greetings, Rabbi," and kissed him. But Jesus said to him, "Friend, why have you come?"
Then they came and laid hands on Jesus. When those around him saw what was happening, they said to him, "Lord, shall we strike with the sword?" And suddenly Peter stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. Jesus answered and said, "Permit even this." And he touched his ear and healed him. Jesus said to Peter, "Put your sword in its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Shall I not drink that which the Father has given me? Or do you not think that I can now pray to my Father and he will provide more than 12 legions of angels? But how then could the scripture be fulfilled that it must happen thus?" In that hour, Jesus said to the multitude, to the chief priests, the captains of the temples, and the elders who were coming against him, "Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple and you did not seize me. But this is your hour and the power of darkness. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled." Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. Then the detachment of troops and the captains and the officers of Jesus arrested Jesus and bound him. "They bound my Lord. They led him to a trial of mockery. His first trial was before Annas. While before Annas, one of the officers who stood by Jesus struck him with the palm of his hands And then Annas bound him to Caiaphas, the high priest.
Being taken to Caiaphas, he was mocked again. His humiliation was even greater there, as was his suffering. The Bible says, while he was before Caiaphas, the chief priests, the elders, and all the council sought false testimony against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. Even though many false witnesses came forward, they found none. For many bore false witness against him, but their testimonies did not agree. And the high priest arose, stood up in the midst, and said to Jesus, "Do you answer nothing? What is it that these men testify against you?" But Jesus kept silent and answered nothing. Again, the high priest asked him, saying to him, "Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? I put you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God." Jesus said to him, "It is as you have said, I am. Nevertheless, I say to you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming on the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest tore his clothes, saying, "He has spoken blasphemy. What further need do we have of witnesses? Look, now you have heard his blasphemy. What do you think?" They answered and said, "He is deserving of death." And they all condemned him to be deserving of death. Now the men who held Jesus mocked him and beat him. Then some began to spit on him and to blindfold him. Then they spat in his face and beat him. And having blindfolded him, others struck him with the palms of their hands, saying, "Prophesy to us, Christ, who is the one who struck you?" And the officers struck him with the palms of their hands. And many other things they blasphemously spoke against him.
Time does not permit us to tell about Peter's denial, but let your mind recall those three times Peter denied him. Peter, who said, "Thou art the Christ," now curses and swears, denying even knowing him. After Gethsemane, after trials before Annas and Caiaphas, he was taken at the break of day to appear before the highest Jewish council, the Sanhedrin. When morning came, as soon as it was day, immediately the elders of the people, both the chief priests and the scribes, came together and led him to their council and plotted against Jesus to put him to death, saying, "You are the Christ, tell us." But he said to them, "If I tell you, you will by no means believe. And if I also ask you, you will by no means answer me or let me go. Hereafter the Son of Man will sit on the right hand of the power of God." Then they said to him, "Are you then the Son of God?" So he said to them, "You rightly say that I am." And they said, "What further testimony do we need? We've heard it ourselves from his own mouth." Then the whole multitude arose, and when they had bound him, they led Jesus from Caiaphas to the praetorium and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. And it was early morning.
Jesus endured the mockery of those three Jewish trials, but he was now about to face three civil trials that would be officiated by those who were appointed by Rome. You see, he had to be taken to Pilate because the Romans did not allow the Jews the right to put a man to death. He was marched through the street in these early morning hours to appear before Pilate. Pilate then went out to them and said to them, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" Therefore the Jews said to him, "It is not lawful for us to put any man to death." that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spoke, signifying by what death he would die. And they began to accuse Jesus, saying, "We found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding people to pay taxes to Caesar, saying that he himself is the Christ, a king." Then Pilate entered the praetorium again. He called Jesus and he said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered and said to him, "It is as you say. Now, are you speaking for yourself about this, or did others tell you this concerning me?" Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you a king then?" Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I shall bear witness to the truth." Pilate went out again to the Jews, and he said to the chief priest and to the scribes and to the crowd, "I find no fault in this man at all." And the chief priests and elders accused him of many things, and Jesus answered nothing. Then Pilate asked him again, saying, "Do you answer nothing? See how many things they testify against you?" But Jesus answered nothing, not one word. So that Pilate the governor marveled greatly. But they were the more fierce, saying, "He stirs up the people, teaching throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee to this place." Spineless Pilate knew that Jesus was innocent, and so he tried to deflect the responsibility. When he heard that Jesus was from Galilee and he knew that Herod, the tetrarch from Galilee, was in Jerusalem, the Bible says that he sent Jesus to Herod. The Bible says that Herod hoped to see some miracle done by Jesus. So he questioned him with many words, but Jesus answered him nothing. And the chief priests and scribes stood and vehemently accused Jesus. Then Herod, with his men of war, treated Jesus with contempt and mocked him, arrayed him in a gorgeous robe, and sent him back to Pilate.
Before Pilate, he was treated with contempt and mocked as he wore the regal robe of the Jewish King Herod. He then stood before Pilate a second time. Now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to releasing to the multitude one prisoner whom they wished. And at that time they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas, who was chained with his fellow rebels. They had committed murder in their rebellion. Then Pilate, when he called together the chief priest and the rulers and the people, answered them, saying, "Do you want me to release to you the King of the Jews? You have brought this man to me as one who misleads the people, and indeed, having examined him in your presence, I find no fault in this man concerning the things of which you accuse him. Neither did Herod. For I sent you back to him, and indeed, nothing deserving of death has been done by him. But you have a custom that I should release someone to you at the Passover. I will therefore chastise him and release him. Do you therefore want me to release to you the King of the Jews? Whom do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ?" And they cried out with one accord, saying, "Away with this man, and release to us Barabbas, who had been thrown into prison for a certain rebellion made in the city and for murder." The chief priests and the elders stirred up the crowd and persuaded the multitudes they should ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. Pilate, therefore, wishing to release Jesus, again called to them, "What then shall I do with him, with Jesus?" Their answer, "Let him be crucified. Crucify him. Crucify him." Then Pilate said to them the third time, "Why? What evil has he done?" I find no fault for death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go. But they cried out all the more, saying, Crucify him! Let him be crucified.
So then Pilate took Jesus and scourged him. Soldiers of the governor took Jesus, led him away into the hall called Praetorium. And they called together and gathered the whole garrison around him. And they stripped him, scourged him, and put a scarlet robe on him. They clothed him with purple. The soldiers twisted a crown of thorns, put it on his head, and a reed in his hand. They bowed the knee before him and mocked him, and began to salute him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews! They struck him with their hands. Then they spat on him, and took the reed, and struck him on the head with the reed. Pilate then went out again, and said to the crowd, Behold, I am bringing him out to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him. Then Jesus came out, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate said to them, Behold the man. Therefore, when the chief priests and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him! Crucify him! Pilate said to them, Shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, We have no king but Caesar. And they were insistent, demanding with loud voices that he be crucified. And the voices of these men and the chief priests prevailed. And when Pilate saw that he could not prevail at all, but rather a tumult was rising, he took water, washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. You see to it. And the multitude answered and said, His blood be on us and on our children. So Pilate, wanting to gratify the crowd, gave sentence that it should be just as they requested. Then he released Barabbas to them, who for rebellion and murder had been thrown into prison. But he delivered Jesus to their will to be crucified. And when the people and the soldiers had mocked him, they took off the purple robe from him, put his own clothes on him, and led him out to crucify him. Let's join our souls together and sing about this together.
Leaving Pilate's hall, he was led outside the city which once was called by God the Holy City, and there he was crucified. So they took Jesus and led him away, bearing his cross. And as they led him away, they laid hold on a certain man, Simon of Cyrenian, the father of Alexander and Rufus, as he was coming out of the country and passing by. Him they compelled to bear the cross, and on him they laid the cross, that he might bear it after Jesus. And a great multitude of people followed him, and women who also mourned and lamented. There were also two others, criminals, led with him to be put to death, and they brought him to the place called Golgotha, which is translated the place of the skull. And when they had come to the place called Calvary, they gave him sour wine mingled with gall to drink. But when he tasted it, he would not drink it. He refused the gall. Do you know why? When gall is taken, the effect is to stupefy the senses. It was often given to those who were crucified to render them insensible to the pains of death. He died for me. He died for you. He endured its agony in the fullest measure without any gall. Let us have just a moment of silence and think about what we have just read.
The Bible says, now it was the third hour, and they crucified him. Then two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and one on the left, and Jesus in the center. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to each soldier a part. They divided his garments, casting lots for them to determine what every man should take, and also the tunic. Now the tunic was without seam, woven from the top in one piece. They said therefore among themselves, let us not tear it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which says, they divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Therefore the soldiers did these things. Sitting down, they kept watch over him there. Now Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross over him. And they put up over his head the inscription of this accusation. And there was written, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. The place where Jesus was crucified was near the city. The people came and stood looking on. And those who passed by blasphemed Jesus, wagging their heads at him and saying, Aha! You who destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. If you're the Son of God, come down from the cross.
It was not those who just passed by. The chief priest, even the elders with them, sneered, mocking among themselves with the scribes and the elders, saying, He saved others. Himself he cannot save. Let him save himself. He is the Christ, the chosen of God. If he's the King of Israel, let him come down from the cross and we will believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. The soldiers also mocked him, coming and offering him sour wine, saying, If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself. Even the robbers who were crucified him reviled him with the same thing. Then one of the criminals who was hanged blasphemed him, saying, If you are the Christ, if you are the Christ, then save yourself. But the others rebuked him, saying, Do you not even fear God, seeing that you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed, for we receive the reward due to our deeds. This man has done nothing wrong. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleopas and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother And the disciples whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." Now from that hour, the disciples took her to his own home.
When my
we enter into those final 3 hours out of the 6 hours that Jesus was hanging on the cross. And so from the sixth hour, noon, until the ninth hour, 3 o'clock, there was darkness over the whole land. Then the sun was darkened. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," that is being translated, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Some of those who stood by when they heard that said, "Look, he is calling for Elijah." After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, "I thirst." Now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there. Immediately one of them ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed and put it to his mouth, offering it to him to drink. The rest said, "Let him alone. Let us see if Elijah will come to take him down to save him." So when Jesus had received the sour wine, Jesus cried out again with a loud voice. He said, "It is finished." And when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit."
Having said this, bowing his head, he yielded up his spirit. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earthquake and the rocks were split, and the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the grave after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. So when the centurion who stood opposite him guarding Jesus saw that he cried out thus and breathed his last, he saw the earthquake and the things that had happened. He glorified God, saying, "Certainly, this was a righteous man." So the centurion and those who were with him feared greatly, saying, "Truly, this was the Son of God." And the whole multitude came together to that sight, seeing what had been done. They beat their breast and returned. But all of his acquaintances and many women and the women who followed him from Galilee stood at a distance and were there looking on from afar, watching these things. Therefore, because it was the preparation day, that the body should not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. The soldiers came, broke the legs of the first, and the other was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw he was already dead, they did not break his legs. One of the soldiers, pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out. Now let us sing the final song before we commune together.